Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I may have a little bit of an obsessive compulsive thing about my kitchen sink. Maybe just a little one. I really like it to be dish free. And in fact, it drives me crazy when there are just dishes upon dishes piled up in the sink. I mean, maybe, okay, at the end of the night, one spoon, you know, maybe a few glasses, you know, that's fine. I can deal with that. But when the sink is full, it gives me a lot of anxiety. Honestly, it doesn't work out all that bad. Why? Because, well, I can go and I can do the dishes and I can also serve my family at the same time. Right? Now nobody else has to do the dishes. And so at the end of the evening meal, guess where you'll find me? Most days. At the kitchen sink. Doing the dishes. After all, the dishes have to be done anyway before we can eat again, right? So it only makes sense just to get it done. Why put it off? Doesn't make any sense. Now, the reason I bring all this up is because things only get worse when we have house guests. When somebody comes to visit, and all of a sudden, it's not just, you know, the five of us who are eating, but now all of a sudden we have 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 people in our house, and the dishes just seem to keep piling up, and there's never any end to it. It's really hard to keep up with all that. And the thing is when we come to the evening meal, I basically have a decision to make. I can either do the dishes to make sure my sink is dish-free, or I could forsake the dishes for a time and go interact with whoever is visiting us or whoever is staying with us or whoever has come to be our guests. Which do you think I choose? Enter Mary and Martha. In our gospel lesson, Martha has invited Jesus into her home. We know that Martha has faith, because why else would she seek out Jesus to invite him over? And when he comes into their house, what does Martha do? Well, she does just like Abraham did in the Old Testament text. The Lord comes to visit, and she sets before him this wonderful meal, right? She wants to make sure everything is prepared, that everything is ready, that way Jesus can eat. Mary, on the other hand, has a little bit of a different idea. What does she do? She forsakes all of the work that needs to be done for a meal, and she is found sitting at Jesus' feet. She wants to listen to what Jesus has to say. Both women in this text are expressing their faith. Martha expresses it by serving. Mary expresses it by listening. So we have two women. Two faithful women, but two women who show hospitality to Jesus in very different ways. And as these two different perspectives collide, Martha thinking that her way is better and Mary thinking that her way is better, who gets caught in the middle of this whole thing? Right, in our text, Martha doesn't go over to Mary and say, "Hey, Mary, you lazy bum, get off your butt and come help me." She goes right to Jesus. "Lord, do you not care?" She accuses Jesus of not caring. But isn't that the same question that we have on our lips? Think about the things of this life, especially when they take a turn for the worse. We might say, "Lord, I have come to the church almost every Sunday of my entire life, and yet I am still overwhelmed. Life isn't getting any easier. Lord, do you not care? Don't I deserve a reward for this? Shouldn't somebody come and help me? Lord, I've tried to live a life as a good person, and it seems like all I get in return is evil. I keep getting beat down. I'm not getting anywhere by being a good person. Lord, do you not care? You have all the power in the world. Why don't you change my lot in life? Lord, I've been serving. And I think I need a little help, don't you? Do you not care? Maybe the biggest one is that you turn on the news, and over again, we see a world that is becoming more and more hostile to Christianity. A world where everyone is speaking about love, but all we seem to see is more and more hate. And we ask God, Lord, do you not care? Can't you change this? Can't you step in and do something about all of these things that are happening? The truth is that we become so busy, so consumed with doing things in this life, and they might even be good and godly things. We might even be worried about things that we ought to worry about, but we become so focused on them, and then, like Martha, we feel overwhelmed by them. Always so busy trying to manage everything in this world. But my friends, the answer to Martha's question is that the Lord does care. Your life isn't a secret to him. Your struggles aren't a secret to him. He knows very well what you're going through, and he knows what we're up against in this life. So he addresses you the same way he addresses Martha. You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Don't get so caught up in this life that you forget the one thing that is necessary, Jesus, and how you need to receive from him. This is the good portion. Don't take it away from yourself. And yeah, there's plenty of work to do. There are plenty of things to get caught up in this life, and a lot of it is very important work, stuff that really does need to get done. But don't convince yourself that you need to accomplish everything in life before you sit at Jesus' feet. Don't think that work is so important that you sacrifice your time for receiving from the Lord. Because you know what? The dishes, they're one of those chores that will never be done. From the day you're born until the day you die, there will always be more dishes to do. There will always be another meal to make. Always more problems that pop up in your life. Always another obligation that gets in the way. Always another hurdle to jump. Always more work to do. More events to plan. Things to attend. Shopping to accomplish. More homework to finish. It never ends. And so as this world pulls us in a million different directions, trying to convince us that this work is the most important thing, remember what Jesus says. There is one thing necessary. And Jesus has made himself completely available to you. He has come into your midst to offer you rest and hope and peace. Jesus didn't go to Mary and Martha's house that way he might be served. He went there so that he could serve them, so that they would know that the kingdom of God had come to be proclaimed in their house, in their ears, in their midst. It's what he offers you today. It's what he wants you to receive today. It's that one thing necessary. Hear the teaching of the Lord. Know that Jesus loves you. Know that Jesus cares for you. Know that in the midst of this world, nothing will stop him from serving you, even when it doesn't seem like that. Remember who you are according to baptism. A child of God. One whom he will feed. One whom he will care for. One whom he will clothe. He even makes a meal for you. It's called the Lord's Supper. He gives it to you to forgive your sins and to strengthen your faith and to reassure you that in the midst of this life, he will always strengthen you. He will always carry you through. It is a guarantee. My friends, Christians are called to serve. Don't get me wrong. Martha was exercising her faith. She was serving. That's good. But more importantly, Christians are called to receive. Receive the one thing necessary from Jesus. And so today, Jesus' most important teaching for you is that you are forgiven. How can you be so sure? We saw Jesus work. We saw him die on a cross. We saw him shed his blood, and we saw him rise again. Maybe not with our own eyes, but with the eyes of faith as we understand and read the scriptures. As his teaching has come to us, we have come to know who our Savior is. And he is the one who will always work for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.